You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carborough 103.5 FM. Freedom of expression is essential to a free society, and that's exactly what we're doing here. This is
absolutely
Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. Your host Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors once again of the Speakeasy to invite you all to come on in, find a seat. Get comfortable in this place where you're always welcome and can always expect the very best. Hi, Claudio.
Hello there. I want to say, okay, Satchmo, this is your white bro. I like having Louis on just before we start the show. We're having a little trouble with the microphones here. I'm afraid this idea is not going to work. Here we go.
Oh, you're moving things around.
We're moving a few things. There we go. Okay. Oh. We learn how to fly this paddle wheel in a minute.
Yeah, we learn. We learn every week.
Something new anyway.
Yes.
So,
anyway, what have you been up to this week?
Well, actually, spent a little time at the Carolina Theater, but mostly in...
place where you're employed?
Yes, I'm afraid
a
so.
Little time.
Yes. Speaking of which, I want to acknowledge them. I usually do that at the beginning of the show, the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, which is the primary sponsor of the Speakeasy here. They actually put up with all the things I have to say. I want to mention that on October 1st, we have Mavis Staples coming there for a performance, and on the 2nd, this is an annual thing, the David Sanborn Trio. That's October 2nd, so keep that in mind, as well as anything else you can find on carolinatheatre.org, and that's T-H-E-A-T-R-E, theater spelled the old way.
They had a good article about the former...
Connie Campanaro.
Yes. In the News and Observer this weekend.
Yeah, Ernie actually sent that to me, sort of celebrating her departure in a sense and wishing her well to move on.
Then they also had a little thing that had the whole lineup of what's coming on at the Carolina Theatre. They've got...
And I didn't bring it with me.
Well, I didn't either. I left it on the. I have it on the coffee table in the living room, thinking I have to bring this in for Claudio, and there it is.
Yes, and well, I figured I'll just send people to the website.
Yes,
that way they can explore a whole lot more. Want to mention very quickly, we have in the studio with us today. We're going to have livingpoetry.net once again with Tara Lynn, and also we have Bartholomew Barker, an interesting name for a poet. He's going to bark some poetry out loud. Welcome back, both of you. And we also have Tricia Talbert from Saxapaha. And you want to get up here and tell us what you're all about? She's eavesdropping on the show, and I want to go ahead and let her represent herself.
Great. I appreciate it. It's great to be here at the Speakeasy. Can't think of a better way to spend a morning than with Claudio and friends. And I'm here today volunteering as part of AARP's Day of Service. There are thousands of volunteers all over the country today who are spending time with all sorts of nonprofit organizations to help them out.
It's a conspiracy, then.
It's a conspiracy of goodwill.
Oh, wonderful. I like that.
Part of Create the Good.
Yes, if only our politicians had that.
We'll keep working at it.
Right.
Thanks, Claudia.
Thanks. I appreciate you being on. So we're going to let Tricia Talbert eavesdrop, and if you want to jump on in and say anything during the course of the conversation today, just come up and grab my mic. You're welcome to do that. And... on that note, Audrey, how are things going with you and your new home that's gradually coming about?
My new home actually has a driveway towards what will possibly, or not possibly, will definitely be the site of this, what I'm calling a minimalist dwelling, because...
The homestead.
I'm only going to build what I can pay cash for, so I might be living in a tent again.
I know the feeling.
Yes. But the driveway is in, and if anybody's interested, actually, this is not a commercial plug at all, because this no money connected with this, but I am doing a blog.
Yes.
And if you go to smallhousejournal.wordpress.com, you'll see pictures, and you'll see histories, and even stories about our cat that we buried in it in the driveway, you know, 20 years ago.
Oh, I see. All right.
And the Irish wake that my sons had for the cat there, and I'm thinking I'm going to name my driveway Joseph Cat Way.
Why not?
Anyway, but...
Is it graveled now?
It's graveled.
Ah-ha-ha.
I drove on to my property. I mean, 20-some-odd years...
She lives in the woods, in case you're wondering.
Well, I'm planning on it. 20-some-odd years ago, we hacked through the woods with loppers and hatchets and stuff to make a path and cut down a tree... limb to go across this very small...
Yes, Audrey doesn't, like myself, doesn't like taking trees down.
Yes! And this time we actually drove in my son's, you know, big vehicle, big American SUV thing. And
the macho machine, yes.
Are up. So, yes, it's on the... It is working. It's going to happen, and I'm really
wonderful. Well, you're underway.
I'm hoping by spring.
Good.
And I will just move on down there into whatever I can manage to build.
Either tent or teepee. Gotcha.
Tent or teepee. It would be nice to have indoor plumbing.
I don't know about teepees and indoor plumbing. Right. There's an art house right next door to the teepee.
I've been through that.
Yeah. WCOM, if I recall.
Yes. Anyway, so we're doing fine. Good.
I just wanted to catch everybody up on your blog, essentially.
Yes.
So I'm going to turn the microphone over to Tara Lynn here. She's going to explain what's going on with livingpoetry.net. I think there's a festival coming up in Raleigh this weekend. Mm-hmm. I won't give it away. I'll let you do all that. So go ahead and color in the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes, this weekend, starting Thursday through Sunday, is Raleigh's SparkCon Festival. So there's all different sparks that they feature. There's a film spark, a fashion spark, bizarre spark, which is all handmade items and like felting and jewelry. And there's also a circus spark, which is fairly new. And what we're here for is we'll be participating with Poetry Spark, which started last year. One of Living Poetry's members, Cal Nort, started it. And I attended it last year, and there were readings, and they also have a poetry slam. And this year, there's a lot more activities going on, and there's a youth poetry workshop that'll be taking place on Saturday. And part of what we're going to be doing is we will be hosting a Poetry on Demand booth.
And when you say we, you mean livingpoetry.net.
Living Poetry. Mm-hmm. Okay. And people will be able to come up and give a dollar and a word, and we will be writing poems on the spot in under 3 minutes using their word, or whether it's in the poem or it's inspired by the word that they
almost
are
sounds like something. Almost sounds like something out of Monty Python. A word, please. A dollar, please.
That sounds like great fun.
Yeah, and Bart's actually accepting wine in lieu of money, but
fellow after my own heart. Let's hope you get a good vintage.
Yeah, and the idea actually came from Natalie Goldberg's, one of her books, Writing Down the Bones.
Mm-hmm. Remember it?
Book of essays about exploring different writing styles and some inspiration. And one of her essays is Spontaneous Writing Booths. And she did this for several years at festivals where people would give a word. And she originally was charging 50 cents a poem. And then she went up to a dollar. And then she said, throughout the day, there's always a line. And she received letters from people down the road in the future.
What an idea.
People said that they keep it in their wallet and they don't really let go of it. But as a writer, it's going to be a challenging exercise for everybody because you have to just let go of your work, and most writers keep what they write. And this is going to mm-hmm. be something where we're never going to see it again. We're just going to be...
You're essentially just going to express it.
Giving it away, letting go, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you could always write it on paper with a little mimeograph.
You could record it. Record it.
Against the rules. Darn, just so you could keep it.
It's called Into the Ether. That's it. Boom.
Like the sand paintings and
yes.
things like that.
There we go. That right. Same thing with the street paintings, right? They're going to have these marvelous
yes.
works of art.
And there'll be rain. Away.
Crayon or whatever they're using for this. Right. And so, like New York City. Mm-hmm. Pastel, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's gone. They'll probably let the weather wear it away, I would imagine. I don't think they're going to scrub it clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that'll just be... and a part of it is, too, is that these are poems that we normally wouldn't have written because we wouldn't be prompted by these random... words and also right. being under the time constraint and distracted by everything going on because we're going to be our booth will be in front of Isaac Hunter's Tavern, which is right on Fayetteville Street mm-hmm. Near the Capitol Building in downtown Raleigh, and we're going to be right in front of us will be all the street painters, so there's going to be a lot of activity going on and distraction, so will require some focus on our part there.
I'm going to try to make it a point to drop in. I've got all sorts of things going on over the weekend, but if I can break away, I will show up.
Please do.
And give you an impossible word.
try to stump us.
Yeah.
Aardvark.
There we go.
You can do that.
Snort, snort. There we are. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, Bartholomew, or
Bart.
Bart. What's your story? Introduce thyself. Seems like the sort of thing you say to a Bart.
Yeah.
Who let you in? How did you cross over?
Well, I joined Living Poetry a little less than a year ago, and I've been writing poetry off and on for years and years.
Something you did well before?
Yes.
Joining? Yeah,
absolutely. But it's really having a community of poets has really helped keep me more inspired, and getting the feedback is just essential just to get that reaction to a poem.
Mm-hmm.
Just writing a poem just for that sake. it isn't satisfying. You need someone to read it.
You need a response. You're right.
You got to have that.
So do you live in the same area as them, or how did you meet?
I mean, in the Triangle.
In the Triangle, okay.
Yeah, I live up in Hillsborough.
Oh, right, okay.
Oh, the writer's heaven.
Well, I no longer have an excuse then. He's at least 50 miles from where they live, so. And you, how did you guys meet?
Through Living Poetry.
Oh, okay, I mean, on the web online. Or internet online?
Yeah, meetup group. Yeah.
Which is actually how we met.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Online. Mm-hmm. Can get you into a lot of trouble. They just Carolina Theater was doing the debut of a film about Facebook that just came out.
Yeah,
speaking
that looks
of
really
meeting
good.
Online, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They had, have you seen it?
They had the anti-piracy police right there. So they were. I'm not sure what some major personality showed up, but I'm not sure who it was. I didn't work that event, but they were sort of. It was an interesting CIA feel to the building yesterday.
Wow!
All for Facebook. Interesting.
I actually have a Facebook poem.
Ah, would you like to read it?
Sure.
Or recite
yeah,
it
was actually because I brought several poems that at our there's a monthly creative workshop and creativity.
Sharing creativity workshop.
There you go. That's mm-hmm. the actual title. So
and where is this? This is among
this
your
is through Living Poetry. Yeah,
we have actually, three two, of them.
Oh, we have three.
Right.
There's one that three different mm-hmm. points in the month, and someone of us facilitate them, and then mm-hmm. it's just a workshop so that you bring poems, mm-hmm. people review them. And then just react. And then at the end, we generally will do one of these spontaneous poems. Where right. we'll each get a prompt and write something out very quickly. And Tara did this mm-hmm. one in probably less than 3 minutes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I brought several from the workshops throughout this year that were all written in under 3 minutes. This one was, the word that we had to use was hanky-panky. But I titled this About Face. You rearranged your office. The computer monitor facing away from the doorway, away from my sight. Before bed, I ask what you're working on. A new project for a client, you say. I stand in the doorway, my pajamas hanging loose over my skin like the paranoia over my heart. The reflection of the computer in the window behind you is your high school sweetheart on Facebook. I can't read your face anymore since you turn away from mine. And that day I had read an article and it was saying that 80% of divorces today are attributed to Facebook.
My goodness.
These were just not polled figures, but they were just kind of, from interviews with lawyers and attorneys and things like that. So these are, there was no
that's an interesting
actual
little
statistic
tidbit.
Cite,
yeah.
But they were saying that of all these cases, that's what. So that was on my mind when I went to. I had just read that before I went to the workshop, so that's why I think. When the word prompted that. So
if you folks want to find a good way to drop your date, go to Facebook.
Good grief.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I know. I've heard so much about how our social media is interfering with our, and the whole internet thing is interfering with our ability to think
be private.
More deeply. Mm-hmm. Well, to think deeply because we are so much on the surface, so much mm-hmm. Instantaneous response and communication with
Very
one
good
another.
Point.
And it's so involving because I think most people who have been in, gotten onto things like Facebook that's as far as I've gone. I haven't gone into Twitter or anything.
I spend
like that,
very little time on it. I just respond to people basically.
But it can be addictive. I mean, people are constantly checking their Facebook, checking their email, checking this, and I have found myself doing and thinking, this is ridiculous. I've got other things that I can enjoy in life besides this little computer screen.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing how much time can be consumed with just you sit down and next thing you know 2.5 hours have gone by.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a little creepy in that sense, so I sort of measure my time that I spend on the computer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, but a lot of the poets in the group have written poems inspired by Facebook, and one of our members, Glenn Cassidy, has a whole series he's been collecting, and just whether it's just based on statuses or the protocol that goes along with Facebook and different things like that. So it's been, a modern way of, I think, influencing literature, too. So,
a lot of times before I settle down to write, I'll try and pop off a haiku and post it on Facebook just as a warm-up exercise.
Mm-hmm.
That's where some of those haikus are.
Give us some of your haikus or whatever you want to dish out at this point.
All right. So this is where we need the jazz music.
In the back. Just imagine the music in your mind. Have David Sanborn in the background and you'll get the idea.
All right. Drunken mosquitoes stab my arm drinking red wine. Freeloaders.
Oh, I like.
I do too.
That's great.
Wind clatters skeleton trees, shoes crunch frozen ground, winter's silence.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
He's got a good voice for this, too.
Yeah.
It's a perfect voice, yeah.
My father's a minister, so I inherited that.
Uh-huh.
On a tightrope, gusts from left to right, the only way not to fall is to drop.
Interesting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And grasping reality is like trying to save a bee in a swimming pool.
Mm. You know, this is just a few words, and yet you want to sit down and say, wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Meditate the depth.
Yes, exactly.
That was a beautiful. That's actually some of the best haiku I've heard, because oftentimes it's just so scattered. It's mm-hmm. like a collection of scattered thoughts instead of something that culminates in a meaning.
In something you want to think about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I want to say that if anyone was counting syllables, these are not the strict Japanese haiku. This is an American haiku or a Kerouac haiku, which Tara introduced me to.
I like that, a Kerouac
haiku.
Westernized. The idea is just three short lines,
right?
No poetic trickery, mm-hmm. and it's got a pop at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Give us some more. We got you on that wavelength.
I've got a few. I've got one.
We're going to be rotating poetry today, folks. Eventually, I'll do some myself, but we're going to have Tara Lynn and Bart mm-hmm. sort of go with the flow here.
Yeah, I wrote this haiku like 2 weeks ago. There was like this big downpour in Raleigh, and I live in Cary, and I was going back to Cary, but I got stuck in this downpour. So this is mid-afternoon haiku. Loved sudden downpour, skipped through parking lot, glad not wearing a white tee.
Neat.
But I'm going to jump in there with something humorous. This was actually written by my very best friend, a sea captain, who resides in Fort Pierce at this point, but one of the captains I frequently worked with until we decided we were best friends and it wasn't a good idea to work together anymore. His name is Don Punker, and he wrote this piece years ago. I'd actually taught him how to express himself, how to find his personal expression. And this was one of the absolute first pieces he wrote. And I was amazed at the talent that was inside the man that he was never really able to unleash until he got an idea of how to write poetry. And I've always been very proud of this particular piece. Written by Captain Don Punker, Sea Captain Don Punker, of mules and men. Why write of mules, I know you inquire. But ladies, listen on, for you all inspire. He's very strong, you know, and generally works quite well. But if you try to lead him, he'll certainly rebel. The smart ones learn to lead with carrots or with candy. So learn to lead and not to push, and you'll handle him quite dandy. But do not lead too fast, nor offer him too much. For if he gets suspicious, so you will lose his trust. So when you learn how fast to lead, and just what to offer and when, that's when you ladies will learn that mules are a lot like men.
I had a nice sound.
That was the unintended sound effect there.
All right.
Let's keep the poetry rolling.
Go and bring one in.
Did you bring some? Yeah, good. I was hoping.
These around, and I've got a bunch of leaving poems here.
Okay.
So maybe with this, some things going on in some people's lives, mm-hmm. it might be appropriate. This is called Pieces of Amber. I turned to see you one last time in friendship and remembered love, already half away to meet the sunrise of unseasoned days, surrendered motion, amber pause, sealing fast the memories of memory, the moments of memory in the dying night, dropping flowers on empty graves.
Wow.
Mm. Very nice. Beautiful.
Goodbye.
Yes, cheerio, old chap, whoever's down there. What was it? I read this thing about a black man walking through a graveyard, and he comes upon this tombstone that this was actually supposedly really happened, and he sees on the tombstone written, "Dear sir, please stop a while as you pass by, for as you are now, so once was I. And as I am now, you soon shall be, so prepare to die and follow me." And the old man just sort of scratches his head a little, and he scratches out on the earth right next to it, "To follow you I shall not be content until I know which way you went."
Very nice.
Probably goes more to the preacher chap here.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So who's next? Tara.
Sure, yeah. I have another one. Well, I've got a few. I was practicing this weekend for the booth coming up. So I had a friend give some words, and the one word is milkshake. So this I wrote in under 3 minutes. So it's titled Milkshake. Late night neon, squeaky vinyl under thighs, jukebox tunes croon, You give your life in words. I take your memories with me, but you don't know me any better. The only thing you take is another sip on the straw, sucking the thick milkshake, leaving me wanting more.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the other word was timing. So this is timing. The kitchen sink is crusty. The oven is rusty. But the home is full of cookie smells. Pie on the counter, cakes on a stand. The senior citizen of ovens knows the right way to make a house a home. Sugar, butter, and the right timing bring it all together.
Yummy.
Yes.
I was hungry. Really?
It does take you back to those homey smells. Uh-huh. Barth, you're next.
Yes, I did. Also was practicing over the weekend. And we're also warned that if a kid comes up and brings a word and a dollar, they're going to expect the poem to rhyme.
That's true.
And
very likely.
I find that whenever I try and get poems to rhyme, they come out too humorous. So I never do that for my serious work. But
so thou shalt confine thyself to limericks.
Yes. I don't like the strict structure. That I want more freedom.
Oh, you can find freedom as you expand yourself and you find a way just to use it as a language.
Ah, okay.
Speaking for myself, thank you.
So this one I have a random poetry prompt generator.
What?
Yeah. Well, you see, but in my day job, I'm a computer programmer.
Sounds like something Woody Allen came up with.
And it wasn't that hard to do.
Interesting. You can find the list.
Well, what you do, there are lists of commonly used words online.
All right.
I grabbed that, and I wrote a little program, plugged it into my website, and so it will pull five or six of the most common words. And so I basically prompted myself. Sounds a little dirty, doesn't it?
We won't get into the details.
And the word I got was bunch.
Bunch, okay.
And so I thought, okay, I'm going to picture this kid bringing me this. And this is my 3-minute poem. Why is all I have for lunch a quartet of bananas in a bunch? Why not hot dogs or Oreos? This answer only mother knows.
Quite clever. I think you'll do just fine.
Yes. That'd be great. Yeah. Excellent. Mm-hmm.
And then let's see. One of the other ones I did was the prompt was bath.
Bath, as in bath. Taking a bath,
mm-hmm.
bath.
And this one does not rhyme. I pictured this as being a serious, possibly even somewhat attractive woman giving me this one.
Ooh.
She bathes in a tub on a rooftop, naked to the sky, but hidden from the stare of base men on the street. And now I can't read my writing.
I can't either.
Oh, her tanned hourglass back glistens in the sun, appreciated only by the birds.
Hmm.
That's going to be my biggest challenge is when I handwrite these for the people at the festival. They may not be able to read what I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that takes the pressure off.
I would say so.
Leaves it open to interpretation.
Yeah. Can't read my own writing. Sorry.
Just going to say appreciated only by the birds and Bart's mind.
Yes.
Back in the I think it was the 70s, I was watching a Mike Douglas show when I was a kid when I first came to South Africa, and I watched this Calypsonian. His name was actually King Obstinate. It was straight from the Virgin Islands, who would just take these words from the audiences randomly, and they'd give him one or two words, and he'd make up this incredibly beautiful poetry with a calypso rhythm and rhyme, and the steel drum band would back him up doing it. And then years later, I ended up meeting this very person when I was chef of Bluebeard's Castle in the Virgin Islands and became his radio show co-host. So talk about a small world. But the only reason I'm bringing that up is because it's the closest I can identify to just randomly making something up when somebody gives you a word.
Mm-hmm.
He was a master at it. Mm-hmm. His name is King Obstinate, in case anybody wants to look him up. His real name is Paul Richards, but his Calypsonian name is King Obstinate, and he's pretty much the black Elvis Presley of the Virgin Islands.
Uh-huh. All right.
So, yeah, it was a wonderful association, and I understand he's still touring.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my link with just throwing words out. Mm-hmm. Back to you, Tara.
Sure. Yeah, this one was another one from the workshops earlier this year. I'll explain the prompt after the poem because I don't want to... I kind of take you in a different direction with this one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is titled The Ring. It's time. A piece of my ear is under his tongue. His arms around me won't let go. I want more, but I know it's time. We waited so long. Everyone watched and made bets. One last count. He clutches my hand. I can still hear the crowd. The gloves are off. I can't feel my fingers anymore. I throw in the towel and exit the boxing ring. So the prompt was throw in the towel. So
okay.
Yeah, and a lot of people assume, you know, when you're reading a poem that the narrator, well, for a girl, is that it's autobiographical or in some way respect or something like that. But I think
it doesn't have to be.
It just kind of
Everybody throws
you through
that,
a loop. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not always the case.
I can relate to the boxing ring, having been a boxer.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I've had my ears punched a time or two.
Oh, wow.
Back to you, Bart. Mm-hmm. Then I'll do one, and then it'll be Audrey's turn.
So this will be the last of the 3-minute poems that I brought. This one, the prompt was the word neglect.
Mm-hmm.
40 years of neglect, and the grounds are flourishing. Kudzu has engulfed the concession stand. Trees are consuming the infield, and the wasteful stench of race cars is but a memory. Neglect by humans is rebirth for nature. And I titled that one Host, H-O-S-T, for the historic Okanichee Speedway Trail.
Ah,
great.
Great, great place to go walking, by the way.
Well, I'm going to draw one from memory. Years ago, I had the pleasure, back in, actually, 89, of being night manager of the Blue Star Bar on Broadway. The fun thing about it was we only hired artists to work there so that they could, you know, because we had the Broadway crowd coming in. We were on 106 in Broadway, and it was the entire... I lived on 96 in Broadway, worked on 106 in Broadway, and it was across the street from where Harlem pretty much begins. So it was an interesting little nook, and it was called the Blue Star Bar. And this was my way of committing to memory all the people I had on my crew at the time. It's called the Blue Star Bar. The Manhattan skyline is a spectacular sight, from the rooftops of Broadway across the City of Light. As the road snakes along at a deafening pace, you may wind up at the Blue Star, on this side of the race. Though the rats are the victors and the sun has gone down, all aboard, come aboard, we've not yet run aground. Now there's a Mr. Drew Fortley, with much to his gain. He was actually my boss. He's a natural comic in a seedy domain. Then there's young Billy Turner, for whom the ladies all smile, though the calling he follows is somewhat penile. Not to forget Brendan, our actor with true bartender's blues, who indulges his reason with no reason to choose. Oh, and Tucker, oft given to moods of despair, who may mix you a cocktail, though he's never quite there. Still there's much to be said where barback Ned is concerned, whose ambitions may take him where positions are earned. To speak of our patrons, I must begin anew, of this realm where pink elephants and emotions ensue. It's a drinking man's haven and a sober man's test, where a working man's tensions are soon laid to rest. Kimberly is our waitress who, from sunset to dawn, remains lost to a romance that has yet to be born. There is Joe, Butch, and Sandy, also Kim and then Bruce, and Eric and Jeremy, all part of the juice. There is young Wendy Fortley, both a sister and wife, whose skillful promotions give artistry life. Then there is yet another whom I may not forget, who carries these memories with no hint of regret. For I once took position on that side of the road, at 106th and Broadway, my Blue Star abode.
Yay!
My way of remembering. All these people were real, and the way I described them was real.
Uh-huh.
They were truly, I was around these characters for about, I want to say, 6 months, and then the bar sold. Uh-huh. Pretty much sold out from under us, and this wonderful group of people that loved working together was just suddenly dispersed.
They are.
Yeah. Kind of like a stage production where at the end of the run, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody leaves. So that was the Blue Star, and now it's Audrey.
Okay, well, he's remembering, and I'm still on leaving.
Uh-oh.
And this is a small one called My Door. My door doesn't open to you anymore. I may have to oil the hinges. The sound it makes is emptiness, marking the passage of strangers. My door doesn't open to you anymore, but the squeaking never changes, sounding a lot like loneliness. I may have to oil the hinges.
That's good.
Okay.
Well, you can pick it up.
I brought one by Angelica Teuber, our fearless leader, who's not here this morning. But this one I really loved. She wrote this at one of our workshops. And the prompt was Pam Taylor, one of our members and co-organizers, she will bring a bunch of random, like, prompt things for us. And I think next time she's going to bring a bunch of spices. And she brought magnets off of her fridge as poetry prompts this last time. So You know, you could either pick a magnet or write about magnets or mm-hmm. something about a specific magnet and things. So Angelica wrote this one. She titled it Life Bites. My life is holding onto the fridge. Magnets testifying to important, enjoyable, or funny moments of my past. Friendly faces smiling up at me. Bold wisecracks reminding me never to take myself too seriously. Color and phrases singing together. Appointments and phone numbers nudging me not to forget what is vital. I look at this colorful mosaic of my life and laugh, opening the door for some ice cream. I love it. I have it on my fridge, so I took it off this morning.
That works.
Neat.
Yeah.
Oh, Bart, over to you.
All right.
Another Bartholomew original.
She wore feathers in her hair and looked perfectly natural. The plumage matched the color of her mammalian locks and subtle avian beauty. Piercing eyes, aquiline face, slender limbs, lithe body. She's quite the rara avis, a species seldom seen. I'm not trying to imprison her in some cage for my amusement. I just want to watch her soar, but not too far away. So how do I entice her onto my arm?
Whoa, that's
very
sweet.
Nice.
That's very sweet.
I want to remind everybody, you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. I'm here in the studio with Audrey, my co-host, as well as with Tara Lynn of livingpoetry.net and Bartholomew Barker. And we also have eavesdropping in our midst from straight from Saxapaha, Tricia Talbert. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, and I thought I might include a romantic poem at this point. This is called Silence is Unbroken, and imagining romance as it first begins. Even words defy description in these matters of the heart, for in their moments of conception, 'tis the unspoken we impart. In the seconds of first meeting, when the heart extends its greeting, with a subtlety defeating all but laughter of the soul. So as time then dances by us, and neither distance would deny us, the heart administers its reason to live the laughter of our season. As in life we bear no promise, only faith to see us through, so we live alone by striving for what the heart reveals as true. Now in these moments yet unfolding, as our souls unite in dance, where all movement is expression, where all passions dare and chance, where all words remain unspoken, and our silences unbroken.
Yay, nice.
Want to add something romantic yes. to the mix.
Well, I'll come up with a little thing that's not leaving.
Good.
That's also kind of follows through.
She's not leaving. All right.
Not leaving. This is called Love Song.
Aha.
If in all my days of dreaming, drifting in a private realm, laughing at some secret madness, dancing to a silent tune, I should require gentle comfort, should seek to know the source of love. Your name and all that it inspires will tell me what I'm dreaming of.
Beautiful.
So, you know, sometimes Bravo. we don't leave everything.
No.
I have
and
another.
It's back to Tara Lynn.
Yes. This one, our prompt was sweater, and we all had to write about whatever we wanted to, about a sweater.
As in jersey, not sweating or dripping. That
correct.
Yes. There we go. Just thought I'd increase the metaphors out there.
Though you might be, well, I don't know if you'd be sweating in this situation, but
uh-huh.
you'll see.
Uh-huh.
Everything was a shock. Little landmines for fingertips. She had to wear the sweater on every visit. Couldn't wait for the visit to be over. Her grandmother loved to see her handiwork on the catwalk of her life. Touching the front door's handle, shock. Opening the car door, shock. Hair standing on end like a wild hydra. Skirt stuck to thighs, static cling. At the gas station, she touches the pump. Shock. And it's all over.
The sweater.
The sweater, yes. I remember that with carpets, too. Bare feet.
It reminds me of one of the poems from The Sound of Poets Cooking, talking about Aunt Lavinia's casserole.
I'll have to look that
yes,
one up.
Yes, look that
I've
one
I've got
up.
It next on my bedside. Yeah. Yeah. I love that book.
Mm-hmm. And what do we have from you, Bart?
I'm trying to decide where to take this.
Mm-hmm.
I printed off a bunch of poems. And I think we'll
do a random grab.
Random grab?
There we go.
That's dangerous.
Never know what will turn up.
Like the poetry prompt. It's going
to
be random.
Exactly. Might as well start getting used to it, mate.
Yeah. This is
live on the edge.
What edge?
The poet's
this
edge.
Is I don't include any of the George Carlin seven words in this one, but I will be pushing this. So
we like taking speakeasy all the way to the edge, but we have to watch out for those words.
This one is called Grand Piano.
Mm-hmm.
Your sly smile melts my heart and quickens my blood. Dripping with mischief, are you going to kiss or snap? I crave that sound you make when I gently bite your neck. And your breath catches in this lovely throat. Your goosebumps follow my fingertips. Your sighs, my caress. Your moans, my tongue. This body of yours, this subtle flesh, I want to learn how to play it like a grand piano under my fingers, or a cello between my legs, or a flute at my lips.
Wow. Yes, does rather take you in directions.
Yes, very nicely done.
I'm not expound on that.
So
yes, beautifully done.
Wonderful.
So I've raised you now.
I've actually got a poem I'd love to follow that with, but it's way too erotic.
Oh.
I sort of colour in all the details. It works well on stage. Audience is always going, what's he really saying this?
There will be erotic poetry at SparkCon, Poetry Spark this weekend. Is it after hours or after dark?
They always keep it for the late. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm afraid it's too early in the day for mine. Mm-hmm. But at some point, it's actually a piece I wrote called, what is the title? Sea Level. But it mm-hmm. speaks of the passions at first meeting and then culminating in the actual mm-hmm. act of making love. But we'll leave that for another time. I'm going to recite one here that Audrey has already heard, and we've done, I think I recited this on the last show that we didn't manage to record, so I thought I'd try it again. This is my tribute to trees. It's called Skeletal Repose. I'll just give a quick synopsis. I was at a friend's house in Philadelphia. It was 15 degrees outside with a really choppy 15-mile-an-hour winds blowing, and he had this wonderful bay window in his study. He was the Presidential Communications Counsel. I told you wrote the foreword to my book Seafarers. And he had the portrait of every single president of the United States in his study, and with actually signed a collection that came through the family. I think his family had been generations of this kind of counseling. So I asked him if I was spending the night there, if I could sleep in his study, just roll out a sleeping bag and sleep on that thick carpeted floor. We were sitting there having brandy, and I sort of absorbed all this, and I liked the open, the window feel, and I asked for permission just to sleep among the presidents, so to speak. And he granted it, and the next morning I remember waking up, and before my eyes were open I sensed this motion in the room, and it was just the skeletal trees outside blowing in the wind, but the shadows were dancing on the walls all around me. So in the midst of that energy I wrote this. Skeletal repose. The swaying rhythmic restless stride of winter branches thin and wide, so skeletal in their repose as windward motions they expose. Like arms that reach beyond man's prayers, where distant realms greet distant stairs. And yet, beyond allure defined, they reach within the soul, the mind, to all that speaks of God to me, when I gaze long upon a tree.
That's one of my favorites of yours.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really like that one.
Okay. Who's next? Did you bring more, Audrey?
I've got one more.
Wonderful.
And it's this is called Somewhere. Somewhere, still, we talk and walk together through parks and city streets. Somewhere, we are still doing the things we can now only sometimes remember. The selves we were then still laugh and whisper secret things under cover of our separateness, our youth. So much we leave behind every time we go forward. Till we travel no more, held by the arms of all we carry with us.
Beautiful. Wonderful poets in this room today. Back to you, Tara.
Oh, we're all so great.
Hooray for us.
Yes, hooray for us.
This is the Mutual Admiration Society with one eavesdropper. Back to you, Tara.
Earlier this year, I went to Paris, and I wrote a lot of poems when I was there. I have a haiku.
Paris?
Yes.
Boy, that just jumped right out of the frame. How did this come about?
I just always wanted to go my whole life. So
wonderful. So when did you go?
In May.
in May, and how long did you stay?
A week.
Mm-hmm. And you did as much as you could while you were there. So.
I just hung out and relaxed and soaked in Paris.
Wonderful, yeah.
It was amazing.
Good for you.
Yeah.
So did you write this in coffee houses, or where did you write this?
Everywhere.
Wonderful.
Tons of cafes, yeah. This one is Parisian haiku, inspired by actual circumstance. A typical Paris day is not complete without café au lait and a bum sipping Perrier. Because I actually saw that.
A bum sipping. I love
yeah.
that.
And
this is where I must go to be one.
Yeah. Definitely the classiest place to do that.
Right.
And then I guess in the spirit of, Halloween coming and ghosts and things, I have one titled Esprit de France. And I just wanted to mention also that a few times a year we have an international poetry evening through Living Poetry. So people bring poems that are in Spanish, and then we translate and kind of compare the different, what's lost in translation and different things like that. And
God, there could be poems on that.
Mm-hmm. And people bring those. And also, and Bart, he's going to be sharing some poems that he wrote, too, when he was in South Africa earlier this year.
Right.
And also some intergalactic poetry.
Yes. We're going to get to that. And while you're on about all that, go ahead and give the contact information.
For livingpoetry.net. Yes, it's also on Meetup. It's Living Poetry at Briar Creek. And we do a reading every month, and then there are several workshops a month, and we're also starting like little field trips called Exploratory Poets. So we'll go to a place like the Poets Walk at Aramont in Hillsboro.
Oh, right.
The National Museum of Art. And we're in the process of planning a retreat somewhere, possibly on the coast or in the mountains, so that people can all come together and spend a weekend writing. So
how very nice.
Too.
Tell people what Meetup is.
Meetup is a website where I guess their logo, or not their slogan, is get online to get offline. So it basically is anyone, and there's in this area there's a meetup for basically anything, and any interest that you have, you can go on there and find a group for it, and most of them are free or they're very cheap to join. And
meetup.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's all over the world. Living Poetry is a free group. We don't, they don't charge any membership at all. It's just community, run and driven. And
we should say hello to Angelica Teuber.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And hi, Angelica.
And hopefully we'll have her with us next time.
The gates, Angelica.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this poem is Esprit de France.
Spirit of France.
Yes, so a little ghostly experience.
Ah.
I wanted to spy a ghost in a black turtleneck at Café de Flore. But breakfast was bright and loud, no spirits besides the living. Perhaps Picasso was hiding in a corner booth, and Jim Morrison was at Le Domago Café, busy getting sober. I know Hemingway is tied up across the street at Brasserie Lip, engrossed in his draft of A Farewell to Arms. When I leave and wander toward the Seine, I catch my reflection in a window on Saint-Germain-des-Prés. My image is not alone. A young man stands behind me, his head hanging a little low. I lock eyes with his reflection, I turn around, and the street is empty.
Ah.
I like it.
And it really happened. It was kind of creepy.
It really did. Interesting. So you got your spirit.
I did.
Okay. Yeah.
No black turtleneck, though. But
have you seen him since?
No.
I think desires can, to a great extent, be summoning. So you got to be careful what you want.
Yeah, manifestation there.
Yes. Beautifully, beautifully done.
Let's stick with the travel theme now.
I see. All right.
Because this summer I went to Cape Town. I spent 10 days there in that wonderful city.
My old home place.
Yeah, it was my first visit. I was just floored. It's one of my favorite cities
in the world. You saw Table Mountain.
I did. I was on top of Table Mountain.
All right.
But I wrote this poem for all the residents down below Table Mountain in Cape Town itself. How can they be so friendly in this formerly tripartite city? Wouldn't years of separation breed distrust of the others? Yet they have overcome such division in only half a generation. Afrikaners, blacks, colored, I've met them all beautiful, so comfortable in their own skin, which used to restrict them. I've been all over the world and never felt more welcomed nor at home than in Cape Town.
Beautifully stated, and I can fully appreciate that. Thank you. Take that. And I do want to say on behalf, just to speak for South Africa in general, the apartheid system was perpetuated much more politically than it was by people. I was practically raised by a black woman whom we called, her name was Goodness, but she was our maid. And my mother was a hairstylist, so she was gone all the time. And if I didn't behave, I got slapped by Goodness. And I have just the most wonderful memories. So I dare say that to a great extent, this prejudice was certainly upheld by the extremists, but was far more political than it was real to the native people, black or white. And I think that's the reason you saw it being so embraced when apartheid was finally shed, because a lot of people were already on that wavelength.
Right, and that was, apartheid was shed less than 20 years ago.
Yes, yeah.
It felt much more unified than it does even here, where we...
And I think you would have sensed a degree of that even if you'd been there during apartheid.
Hmm.
Among the people, not politically. Politically, and not just politically, but also by the Dutch Reformed Church. Let's not leave churches out of this, okay. who spread this prejudice.
Yeah.
So it was upheld by those who could then no longer uphold it. And I think that probably makes a statement for politics everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
As long as, if they want to thrive, they've got to keep us prejudiced on some level so that they can get what they want.
Yeah.
So bearing that in mind, I just wanted to make that statement. Ah, well, you've actually put me to task. I just got... Trisha just put me to a challenge here. She's just handed me this note. Surely there's a poem in there called Slapped by Goodness. No, but there will be. I have now been put to the challenge. Goodness, I'm afraid, remains mostly in my heart. But we do have a beautiful black and white photograph of her and her three children with me in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So how did little Mighty Whitey get in there, But I want to add...
makes me think of Sarah Claytor when she was on and talking about... this is a poet. I don't know if you know her, but she's a poet locally.
Yes. What a character.
Yes, yes. And talking about a lot of her poems that deal with the African-American woman in her life who raised her. And
very much so. People we truly loved.
Her family.
Yeah, absolutely. So. To me, she had more authority over me than my mother. My mother, whom I never saw, I would fight with and probably disrespect, but I didn't dare disrespect Goodness because she had a good swing. And on top of that, I loved her, so... In keeping with travel, I'm going to go in a metaphoric direction. This is part of Seafarers. It's called Ship to Shore. I am a sailboat in the harbor, with concerns but moored away, though my ancient, restless yearnings are all staggered in my sway. I am touched by your allurements and the journeys they may prove, like the rhythms in the river when my rudder cuts a groove. Sails are to this vessel as passions to the soul, and rest is but a sanctuary from where waters lull and roll. So lure me from vast distances, sweet midsummer of my nights, and whisper in the breezes of your ambient delights. And I shall move in silences your spaces to explore, and sail your tides and histories from oceans to the shore.
Very nice.
Thank you.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I figured since we were traveling, let's throw a vessel in there.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any more, Audrey? I'm sure you have some committed to memory.
I have one that's kind of brief that I think is one of the few that I actually remember without having it written down. But it's, I think I titled it Life. And it's basically, Life, I celebrate your touch. Sing a hymn to your caress. Feel your soft breeze on my parted lips. Surrender to your wantonness. Turn my face to your blazing sun, warming through my tousled hair, and thank the Lord for things undone, still to know and yet to share.
Bravo.
What a memory.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, that's well done.
That's one that sticks with mm-hmm. me because it's, yeah, that's...
I'll toss a little one along that one, also entitled Life. And I hope I can remember it as well as you just did yours. Life is the canvas for a picture that paints itself, to grow in a vintage of beauty, and in death stand still in its reflection of the time and era in which it was the artist.
Okay. Good deal.
Now we've done life.
We've done life.
Yeah, I have a...
Back to the poetry of living... let me get this right. Livingpoetry.net. I was thinking of something of my own and confused that with livingpoetry.net. Here we go.
Thank you.
Back to Tara.
I have a short, another one from Paris, and then I'll let Bart do his intergalactic travels here. This one's called Merci Beaucoup, with a question mark. And just for, I guess, translation purposes, garçon is French for waiter. Mm-hmm. And I stayed on a road called Rue Daguerre. So as just to kind of fill in any blanks or confusion. Thank you, garçon, for holding the bill for 2 hours. Merci, waiter, for making me wait and order profiteroles. Thank you mostly for the extra time I was forced to fill with poetry. Strings of words that would have never come to be if it weren't for you on Rue Daguerre.
Now that's a positive take on, on, you know, instead
hanging
of,
out for 4 hours. Yes. Yeah.
Instead of road rage or waiter rage.
I can tell you were soaking it up in Paris.
Yes.
Very much.
So, back to you. And at some point, I want to hear some of this Klingon poetry that we have.
Yes, that's what I'll do now.
All right.
I have compiled a lot of the poems from the great Klingon poet of the 20th century named Dach-Tik.
Mm-hmm. Let me, before we go in that direction, what is it that even inspired you to go in this direction?
Oh, it was just, you know, the fascination with the Klingon language.
Okay.
You know, that tongue, the power of the warrior's tongue is just so remarkable.
You're obviously a fan of Star Trek.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And so I found some of his poems and I decided to translate them into English. And these are some fairly artistic translations, but I'll first give you the Klingon so you can feel the, you know, the power.
Quite words. Extraordinary how he actually manages the guttural.
Jahvad shoch gugyangmo u jikuch ach not kajakma vaj jikuk. And
he's got a knife.
Because the universe revealed you to me, yet keeps you from me, I'm exhausted. Just being totally tired, be a more literal translation.
It did not sound that friendly to me.
That was actually a very gentle opening stanza.
Interesting. All right, then. Let's have the rest of the opera.
Jikong takvish mahom et binaj chich machol chu chot dermaj. I chose that poem because I love that middle line, the chich machol chuk choch chu.
Right.
I think that's just beautiful. I love that alliteration.
I can just see waking up first thing to this in the morning.
And that means, while sleeping, I dream we're together. Consciously, I draw you near. That's what the ch line is.
Okay.
Until we touch. Gesh guwij poshdach bidejdi shoch iwij damech chokboch chongnomoch. That means when you collapse into my arms, you ignite my blood and incite my passion.
For anyone listening out there, just to remind you that this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. And that was Bart reciting his Klingon poetry. I'm sure there are some Klingon fans out there.
Ships going around the Earth, you know, listening.
That's right. They'd be picking us up.
There we go, picking us up on shortwave.
Yeah, well, you know, we're broadcast on iBiblio all over everything, including the universe.
In a few hundred years, that'll be heard in Kotnosh. It'll be all set.
Right. Well, give us a few more before we surrender to something else.
I'd rather go in a different.
I think we need this. We need this on the with Hillary Clinton at the peace talks.
We're at peace with the empire. If we weren't, we would know.
Right.
I have to say, only on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, which is only on WCOM, your community radio, do we pull in our community from outer space.
Right.
Thank you, Bart. That
yes,
was
indeed.
Gorgeous.
I'm sure the
no
Klingon American community is very happy.
Yes.
Well, obviously, you're still waiting to be picked back up by whatever ship dropped you off, so yes. And I'm hitching a ride. So.
Yes.
I think we got about another 3-4 minutes before we got to bring this thing to a wrap, so bearing that in mind, let's continue on. I think Tara's next.
Sure. I think I mentioned the last time I was on here that I'm fascinated by the Craigslist postings for missed connections.
Mm-hmm.
And I read them every week. I think it's just incredible to see, especially in the Raleigh area. Like, I've looked in other cities, but they're just not as interesting as what's going on around Raleigh. And you know, how many people each week are, you know, meeting people, but just don't have, like, whether it's the courage or whatever is required.
I would say that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah, to make a connection. And so they miss it, and then they have enough energy to go and make a posting for it just to see if anyone responds. So I've been collecting lines from each of the postings each week, and then I kind of rearrange them and make a poem out of it. Mm-hmm. So each line is from an actual posting from the area. So this is from last week's Misconnections. It's titled Weaver Street Market. I was sitting outside Weaver Street Market last night playing ukulele. I didn't want to stare. The way you bit your bottom lip, I knew it was on. Every time I see you, I melt. Who are you?
Yeah. Yes. People want to go look, and we're going over to Weaver Street Market.
We will be over there later on. There'll be one, keep two, three, four, five of us. Look for a table with five and come say hello.
All right, for my last one, I want to go in a different direction completely. This one's entitled Fanatics.
And we'll use this as the rep.
Thank you. The reason I was in Cape Town this summer was for the World Cup. Mm-hmm. I'm a very big football fan. That's soccer to the uninitiated.
Yes, I was going
to
correct that. It was not football, but soccer.
Yeah. And I am a big supporter of the Carolina Railhawks, who play down in Cary.
Ah.
So this is written for my friends in the depot. Small children plug their ears when they walk past our section. Quieter fans listen bemused, but the players love our singing, urging them forward, begging them to pass, pass, cross, shoot. Damn it. Loudmouth fanatics with advanced degrees stand behind the goal, hurling abuse at the hated opposition, then chanting encouragement for our boys, urging them forward, begging them to pass, pass, cross, shoot. Damn it. The drums pound the cadence, the vuvuzela cries our passion, the flags held high declare our allegiance to the team, urging them forward, begging them to pass, pass, cross, shoot, and in that eternal moment, we watch the ball curve away from the keeper. We gasp, it hits the back of the net, and we erupt in an orgasmic roar with orange streamers.
And I'd like to think we kicked the ball into the goalie with the show we had on today. I hope so.
Yes.
I want to thank everybody out there for tuning in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater with Audrey, my co-host. You just heard Bartholomew Barker with his poetry. You also heard plenty of Tara Lynn's poetry. They are with livingpoetry.net. And we also have the pleasure of having Tricia Talbert from Saxapaha eavesdropping on our show. I want to repeat something I said last week. I just think it makes a good closing comment, and it comes directly from what's the comedian's name? Robin Williams. There we go. Straight from Robin Williams. I don't want to have this mistaken as my own quote, although I wish I had invented it. It says, "Remember that politicians are like diapers; they need to be changed often, and for the same reason." Until next time, this is the Speakeasy signing off. Cheers.